to bring up, I want to start with my dear sweet friend Ann Brown. Ann is the director of our discipleship. She is on the board of directors for Moms with Swords. And she is just a dear friend of mine. So I am so excited for her to come and just talk about a little bit a transformation that's been happening amongst her and her family. So welcome, sweet Ann Brown.
Okay, I am definitely nervous being up here. So, and it is bright. I forget. Okay, all this talk about the Christmas party, y'all, I'm just not ready. Some of y'all have, like, trees up. Y'all, it's not Thanksgiving yet. So, I love fall, right? I love the smells. I love the colors. I love the food. Thanksgiving is coming. So, I don't want us to forget about Thanksgiving, and it's with that spirit that I'm up here today. Many of you know, my husband, Curtis, was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive cancer this past spring. And I want to thank all of you who were so gracious to us in prayer, with food, with love. You just were the hands and feet of God during that time, and Jesus just worked through you all. And I thank you for that. While he's finished with surgery now and his treatments are all done, we believe he's healed. We're still reaping the ramifications and the realities of all of that, naturally. It's been a challenging season for us as a family, and I know many of y'all have had challenging seasons as well, especially this year. So what I can tell you and what I want to make sure you know is that God is good all the time, in every season, and he never leaves us. His plans for you and for us are always for his best, and it doesn't matter what season you're in for that. So a few weeks ago, I looked at the fall leaves, and I thought about the seasons. I thought about seasons in my walk with the Lord, times I felt rich in his presence where, like my favorite season of fall, I could sense him everywhere I looked in everything I did. This has been very tangible to us during this last season in our family, and being held so closely by him, his provision has been at every single junction. But that day, as I gazed out the windows and I looked at the fall leaves outside and the colors, I began to lament the coming winter. It's cold, it's dry, it's harsh, my bones ache, and anything of color just seems to be sparse. It's then that I thought about the winter-like absence of the Lord's presence. And I don't want to feel that isolation. I don't want to be out of the warmth of his constant presence, which has been walking us through this season. During this time in our lives, how would I even make it through a spiritual winter? We've all been in those places where those seasons in life and we don't feel him, and everything feels cold and sparse. Our faith feels dry. And merciful as he is, he showed me some beauty and necessity in each of his seasons, and that his provision and presence are in each beautiful season of our spiritual walk. Like Kevin Bacon quoted from Ecclesiastes 3, because every time I hear this, you hear that Ecclesiastes 3, you think about him making his thing for the dance. There's an appointed season for everything, and each season boasts God's provision. So exit Kevin Bacon. Okay, in the spring, all things are new, right? It's a season of new growth. New things are planted in the ground. In the spring season of the Lord's plan, his crop is planted, and the crop isn't always the one we want, as in the case of my husband's cancer. But we're entrusted with this crop. Therefore, we must make sure that our soil is prepared to receive his crop. The Lord readily provides rain in this season to water that crop, yet we have to choose to water it. Leviticus 26, 3 and 4 say, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandment so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its produce and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. We must use the Lord's provided water, his living water, to nourish our crop and apply his word to fertilize it so that it grows correctly. So then during spring, his crop establishes roots, and they flourish, being pruned and growing toward his purpose. I had purchase written down there. That'd have been fine. How do you do? Okay, because make no mistake, the summer is coming. The heat, the crop that God has planted, endures a time of testing during the summer. You can call it refining fire, because that spiritual summer is the time when you feel like you're in Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. There's a burning in you where you want to give up and yet you don't. Galatians 6:9 exhorts us to continue pressing on, not growing weary, because in due season we will reap a harvest. So despite what you see or feel, Jesus is in the fire with you during the summer. He may even be the fire. And while you may feel like you're being consumed, he's protecting that which he's planted if you'll hold tightly to him during that time. We have to choose to patiently wait for the Lord to provide relief. As in James 5:7, it says, "Be patient then until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the spring and autumn rains." God's provision in summer purifies and refines his crop, yet his presence always protects its purpose, because there's autumn. Y'all, fall. Fall is so good. Deuteronomy 11:14 promises rain on your land in its season, both in autumn and in spring, that you may gather your crops. So the rains come again in the autumn, and this time they relieve the heat, replenish the soil, and allow for a time for you to harvest your crop. The gathering and the harvesting of fall comes with its own work and challenges, but the fruits of your labor during spring and summer are reaped with thanksgiving and gratitude. So Acts 14:17 says, "As a testimony to his goodness, he gives rain and fruitful seasons, filling your heart with food and gladness." Tell me that is not the embodiment of fall and thanksgiving. And our spiritual fall season is a testimony to his riches and goodness, where we are right now, his provision for us, and the shelter of his hand. When we'd have to store up all that harvested goodness, because inevitably there is winter. That rich harvest is meant to last through the cold, sparse season. It feels like a dormant, isolated existence in winter, and it even can bring the death of that which is temporary or seasonal. But the Lord's provision and presence persists in the winter, again, despite what we might see on the surface. So relating all this back to our fall session here at Moms with Swords, let's look at the roots tree system during winter. This is what the Lord showed me that just made winter bearable to me. Our roots are God's provision. You see, root activity in a tree is also seasonal, with new growth in the spring, maximum growth in early winter, and pulses of additional growth occurring occasionally in the fall. But the roots of the tree overwinter in a resting phase, with essential life processes continuing at a minimal rate. While they rest, tree roots maintain readiness to grow that is independent of the above ground parts of the tree, even if the air above ground is brutally cold. Y'all hear that, right? That despite harsh and cold conditions, that which we see, winter roots are resting, but they're ready. They rest in fall's provision, trusting what they have, that they have what they need to weather the season, and that they are ready to resume full-on growth in the spring. In that light, winter is a Sabbath to rest and ponder the goodness of the harvest and trust his plan for growth in the spring. I want you to know this morning, if you're in a winter season, spring is coming. God's provision is in each season, and it's part of his plan, a foundation for our growth, sure and true. As we face the winter, look at the spiritual season many of you have been in and where you are now. There's loss, gain, illness and strain, battle and victory, reaping and sowing. And see his hand in everything. Grasp his hand and walk the seasons with him, trusting the yield of his planted crop. Sink your roots deep into the richness of his soil, and then you will be, as Jeremiah 17:7-8 reports, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream, and it will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Thank y'all.
All right, I want to bring up my sweet friend Jamie. How many of you remember in, I think it was like session 2, do y'all remember what I said that I was believing was going to happen this session? I was believing that God was going to give us salvations of our children. And so two mamas are coming today because salvation came to their children, y'all. Salvation came to their children. So Jamie and Bam, where are you? Jamie and Bam.
How's that sound? I've never spoken in a microphone either. Okay, it's not that bad. Okay, our family has too been through a rough season, so thank you, Anne, for sharing that. And I'm grateful to come up and share this little nugget of God's presence in our life and a time that has blessed us in a little bit of darkness that we're going through. So like Joy said, this is Branton, and we call him Bam. And
hi.
And so he started asking, he's the youngest of three sons that we have, and he started asking, you know, periodically, but more and more last year, when he could get baptized. And we, you know, I talk with him, and I would just always gently tell him that he would know when it was time. As we were walking and going to church, he would know when it was time. So several weeks ago, we were on our way here, and he said, Mom, can I read you something that I wrote? It was out of nowhere. I said, sure. And so I want to read you what he read to me. And he wrote in his little Doctor Who journal, he said, I was at baseball on Tuesday 9/13, and I felt tingly and felt like God built a wall against temptation. He put Christianity and love in my life. I could see Jesus talking to me and holding his hand, and I felt reborn in Christ and a child of God. When I watched God's Not Dead, I felt fearless in faith, and I felt my new life begin in grace and love. I've felt like a child of God more than I already did, and I have the fruits of the Spirit inside now. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I cried as he read it to me. And he said, I think I'm ready to get baptized now. And I said, well, I would agree with you. I think you're right. And so he got baptized this past Sunday. We go to Church of Burnt Hickory, and he got baptized. And I didn't know, but he went home and wrote a little more. So he's got these words that he likes to get out. So it's okay. I'm just going to read you that too. Oh, I had to write it in my own handwriting though, this one. On November 6th, I got baptized and I was a new Bam. And love made a difference in my life. When I was looking into the baptism pool, I felt welcome to his golden kingdom. When I wore my white robe, I felt holy with his glory and love. I felt loved like when you get invited to a kid's birthday party. I felt like that about God's heaven. To think that God can make a whole earth in 6 days and man makes a one-story building in 3 months makes me realize how amazing God is. I feel like God is a glorious God and an awesome, loving God, and that's what I felt like, and that's my story. Amen. We're proud of him for his decision, and I'm grateful, very grateful to God that he was able to make that decision because of what God does in our lives.
Yay, so, isn't that awesome?
Thank you for letting him share.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that awesome, y'all? That's mom goals right there. Hashtag mom goals. Don't steal it. We're going to have a shirt somehow. We're going to have a shirt. Hashtag mom goals. Okay, now sweet Janice Gambrill. Janice is, her husband Troy is my girl's youth pastor. He's the youth pastor at Sanctuary, and Janice is his wife, and she pours in to middle school girls. And Janice is now part of our prayer team. And it's so ironic, y'all. Janice, we've been talking, and I've told her she's been on my radar. And I said, and she told me that she's like, Joy, I really feel like God wants me to pray with moms. And y'all, every week that she prays, do you not know that it's something about a daughter, a middle school, or a high school daughter that comes to her? So now I just told y'all, so now it ruins all, now you're going to specifically go to her if you have a middle school daughter, but God has brought, it's just amazing how God does, y'all. She just pours into these middle school girls and high school girls, and I wanted her and sweet Taylor to come up here and tell you their story of Jesus coming into her heart. Taylor has her microphone, too.
Yeah, Tay-Tay had to bring her microphone. Okay, well, so last time I was up here, I was confessing to all of you how I watched the Kardashians. So I'm hoping to redeem myself and my family today. But if not, I don't care. I don't have anything to prove. So, but I really am, I'm overwhelmed right now. It feels very surreal and real at the same time. I have the most beautiful story to share with you guys today. Tay-Tay just turned 3 on October 18th, and probably for the past year or so, she's been asking about things of the Lord, and I could just see like the desire for him and it was probably about 2 months ago, I went to go wake her up in the morning, and she was just kind of sitting in her crib, and I could tell she was thinking about something. I said, Tay-Tay, you okay? I said, what are you thinking about, honey? And she said, Mommy, I just want Jesus, but I can't see him. I was like, I know, baby. It's hard sometimes because we can't see him. Mommy wants him too. And so anyways, we've had several conversations like that. And about a month and a half ago, I was at a service here on Sunday morning, and I was praying for my girls, and I felt very specifically that the Lord, I like kind of stopped mid-prayer, and I was like, okay, Lord, these are the things I'm praying for my kids, but what do you want me to pray for my kids? Because there's a big difference in that, like what we think they need and want. And so I said, Lord, what do you want me praying over my babies? And he said, for Taylor, I want you to pray that she would have an appetite for the things of me. And so I began to pray it, and y'all, the way on the drive home, it was unbelievable because we were in the car, and she's like, Mommy, she's like, what did you learn about in your Bible study today? And I told her, and she said, well, where is that? And I was like, Romans. Like, oh, gosh, don't make me teach this. She said, and I said, it's in Romans. And so she went on to tell me, like, what she learned that day. And we sat in the driveway of our house for 10 more minutes with the car running, just talking about the things of God together. And on October 24th, we were having breakfast, just me and Sweet Tay, and my almost one-year-old Allie was crawling around on the floor, and she was playing with Taylor's Bible. And she goes, Mommy, Allie's looking at Jesus. I said, I know. I was like, Allie's funny. And she said, Mommy, has Allie asked Jesus into her heart? And I said, no, baby. I said, not yet. And she said, Mommy, I have. And I said, you did. And then I want to stop the story right there because we believe this is God's story for her and her story to tell. And we wanted to give her the chance to testify and to get to see what that feels like. And so I asked her, I said, Tay-Tay, do you want to tell Mommy's friends what you said? And she said she wanted to. So she wanted to tell you guys what she said that morning at breakfast. So, and she brought her microphone, so we're going to use both. But Tay-Tay, do you want to tell Mommy's friends what you said at breakfast?
No.
Well, that morning, Tay-Tay said, she goes, just like this, it was the most beautiful, pure, sweet moment I've ever experienced. She put both of her arms up and she said, Jesus, come into my heart from heaven. And she goes, okay, Mommy, he did. He's there. And I was like, oh my gosh, did my kid just get saved? Like, what just happened? Like, I was just eating Cheerios. Like, I didn't know. But it was so real. And you guys, I have to be honest with you. I'm someone that's never really struggled with children making decisions at a young age, because I feel like that's almost contradictory to God's word. Like, he tells us to have faith like a child, which is pure and humble and innocent. And so I just want to encourage you guys this morning. I felt very led as I was praying about sharing her story. Like, let's have faith with our kids. Like, let's not be skeptics of what our kids are feeling and believing, because you know what? They have enough people in their life that are skeptical of their experience with God and don't necessarily believe. And as mamas, like, we don't want to be that voice too. Like, we want to be a voice of faith, and we want to be a voice of belief in what God's doing. And the Lord knows their hearts. Like, it's just our job to just come alongside them and support them. And so, like I said, luckily I've never struggled with believing that children can experience that at such a young age. And so I immediately called her dad, and you know, of course, you know, like you were saying, crying the whole nine, and we were just celebrating and rejoicing, and she told her daddy what she said, and y'all, God is so beautiful, the story he wrote from her, because to me, that was like, okay, that's a beautiful story, but God wanted to elaborate on it more and just confirm what she had done that day. So an hour later, we're coloring, and I decide to look at my devotion book for that day, and it's a devotion by Charles Spurgeon. And so this was the devotion for that morning. So as you all know, our theme for this semester has been rooted. And Joy had shared that she felt like the Lord had said there was going to be salvation for kids. So this was my devotion for that morning. Psalm 104:16, the trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. Without water, the tree cannot flourish or even exist. Vitality is essential to a Christian. There must be life, a vital principle infused in us by God, the Holy Spirit, or we cannot be trees of the Lord. Being a Christian merely in name is a dead thing. We must be filled with the spirit of divine life. This life is mysterious. We do not understand the circulation of the water, by what forces it rises and by what power it descends again. So the life within us is a sacred mystery. Regeneration is performed by the Holy Spirit entering into man and becoming man's life. and this divine life and a believer afterwards feeds upon Christ and is this way sustained by divine food. But how it comes and where it goes, who will explain to us what a secret thing the water is? The roots go searching through the soil, but we cannot see them suck out the various gases or transmute the mineral into the vegetable. This work is done down in the dark. Our root is Christ Jesus. And in that moment, the Lord spoke to me. He said, she was rooted today. She was rooted today. And our life is hidden in him. This is the secret of the Lord. The source of the Christian life is a secret as the life itself. How permanently active is the water in the cedar. In the Christian, the divine life is always full of energy, not always in fruit-bearing, but in inward operations. The believer's graces are not always in constant motion, but his life never ceases to palpitate within. And so I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, she's rooted. Then he wanted to write an even more detailed, beautiful story. So after that, Joy had actually given me this book. I felt like the Lord during her little sister's nap time was telling me to be very intentional about my like hour and a half that I had with her, and just like, you know, with scripture and just being very intentional. And so I talked to Joy about it, and she actually gave me her very own, which how special is that, ABC scripture book that she went through with her kids. And so I open up for the week that we happen to be on that week. We were on the letter F, which happened to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so I put them down for their nap after that, and I just kind of had to sit in that. And so I turned on some Pandora worship, and the very first song that came up was all about what Christ did on the cross for us and how he makes his home in our heart. And her daddy came home later that day, and we always do like a little craft with that Bible story, and so daddy did it with us. We made a birthday card for Jesus all together and celebrated that night. And guys, I just wanted to encourage you. Like I said, as I was praying through her story, and I love how God writes the stories. Like, I wanted to encourage you. I felt the Lord told me to encourage you with two things. The first is this, James 5:6, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We talked about circling prayer last semester, and you guys, I looked back on her prayer journal. I keep a prayer journal for the kids, and on December 28th of last year, we actually prayed specifically for Taylor to know Jesus at a young age. And so when I wrote her story in that journal so she could go back and look at her story, I said, Tay-Tay, look back on December 28th because Mommy and Daddy prayed that your journey would start young. And so one day she'll be able to look at that, and it's not just for us. Like, it increases their faith. Like, they see the hand of God move. They see prayers answered. And so let me just encourage you. There's so much power in prayer. And the other thing is this. Me and my husband come from two completely different families. Completely different families. His parents, who Mama is right there, Troy's Mama is right there, incredible godly man and woman, faithful to the Lord, love the Lord, have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that story. And my parents were not, I was not raised in a godly home, pointed to truth, and you know what? I'm so grateful for that too, because the older I get, the more I learn, like, that was ordained for me, and so I'm grateful for that story as well. But let me just encourage you, you don't have to have parents that walk with Jesus to know how to teach a child to walk with Jesus. You just need Jesus. We just needed Jesus. I love this verse. It says 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. He's given us everything that we need in him to be able to point our kids to Jesus. So don't let your story or your family or whatever make you feel discounted or discredited or unable, because scripture says right there that you are able through the power of Christ. And I'm a living testament that that it can be done, because it's him who does it. He wrote her story, not me. Me and her daddy just got to be an incredible part of it. So thank you guys for letting us share. I get to spend eternity with my daughter.
Y'all, is that beautiful or what? Is that beautiful? And I love what you said, Janice. I love because I think so many moms get hung up on, I didn't have it. I didn't have it, so I can't give it. You have Jesus. Just give him that. Just give him Jesus. Beautiful. Did anybody else, Alex Polk, I know your little girl got saved. Is Alex here? Is she here? There's Alex. Alex, her little girl got saved this session. Anybody else? Oh, my gosh. Wait, you stand up. Stand up for those of you who had children that this over these last 10 weeks got saved. Praise you, Lord. Wow. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus, y'all. That's what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. Man, I don't get paid. You don't get paid for your job, but that is our reward. Man, that is our reward. Praise his name. Praise his name. Praise his name. I want to jump right in. This won't be a long teaching because I want us to spend a little bit of time getting that water that Janice talked about. Is that amazing how God just totally ordained that day? Like when she read me, like when she told me about Taylor and then she read me the devotion that it happened to be that day's devotion. Y'all know. You know, there is no such thing as a mommy gut. It's called the Holy Spirit. Everybody's like, that, you know, my mom gut just started. If you have Jesus, if you house Jesus, that's called the Holy Spirit. And there's no such thing as a mommy gut. And what was I saying? Oh, there's no such thing as coincidences. I heard Julie and I, my sister, we heard Ike Riker say, coincidences are when God chooses to be unknown. There was no coincidence in that day. There's no coincidences. None. Praise him, praise him, praise him. So, Colossians 2, we're going to jump right in. We're going to have a little bit of time drinking in the water today, so I'm going to get through this teaching. This last day, I want us to leave here full, saturated with the living water. So this has been our verse all this session, this whole session. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, remember that personal taking, we had several of our children take him as they can't get to heaven based on my salvation. It's their salvation. It is for their taking. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, Master, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. That's how we're ending this session. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Not maybe. Not when your husband's being really nice to you. Not when your kids are all behaving. No, you will overflow. As we do what this verse here is telling us, overflowing thankfulness is simply a byproduct. You will overflow. This word here in the Greek is proseo. And it is a verb. It is a verb. It's an action word. It is all around, which indicates abundance or surplus. Properly exceed or go beyond the expected measure. What goes further, lavished abundance. It's no wonder that this same word is the word used in John chapter 6 of the loaves and the fishes. When Jesus tells them, go gather up the leftovers, the abundance. When I was in my time with him this morning, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, it says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. It is that same word, that abundance. And in our country, more than ever, we need our love to overflow. Actually, we need Jesus's love to overflow in abundance out of us. The same word is found in Philippians 1:9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. What God gives you will always go beyond expectations. You see, Janice didn't just get, you know, my baby got saved. Jesus come into my heart. Thank you. No, it was an abundance, was it not? That's our God, y'all. He's not in skimpy exchanges. It's always abundant. It's always more. It always exceeds. Has God done anything in your life? You're breathing, right? He's done something. It's always better. It's always better. The more I drink of him, y'all, the thirstier I get. Like, you know, this living water, drink this water and you'll never thirst again. But I'm like, but I am, God. I am, because you're so good. I just want more. I told him a couple last week at the bridge, you know, I don't have to see my Aunt Nancy's coconut cake to know it's good. Because I've tasted it, y'all. So when I just see it, oh, it's coming at Thanksgiving too. When I just see it, I'm going to know it's good. It's the same with Jesus. I've drunk him in, y'all. And I told you, that's my prayer for my children now because I've got older kids. Well, I've got one little one. He's 9. He just turned 9. I keep telling myself, he just turned 9. He was just 8. But they've all got Jesus in their heart. But now I'm praying, oh God, would you give them a craving? We talked about it that first week. Would you whet their appetite for you? Make them hungry for you. Make them thirsty for you, because that's our God. That's our God. He wants to give it in abundance. Oh, he's so good. He wants to lavish. He wants to exceed our expectations. It always goes beyond. So this thankfulness, y'all, is not, oh, I'm thankful. Let me write out my thankfulness note on Thanksgiving and be done with it. No, it's this overflowing. Y'all, overflowing. So let's break this down because in my mind, I think very, very, I have very literal in my thinking. Like, let's just break this down. So you receive Christ as your Lord. You follow him. You root yourself in him. Build everything on him. Your marriage, your decisions, your life. You build it on him. He gets to decide. And because of that, this scripture, if I believe what scripture says, my faith will grow strong in that truth and I can overflow in thankfulness. Do we believe it's that simple? Do we believe God's word will do what it says it will do? You and I are meant to be overflowing with thankfulness as we do what this word tells us to do. We're meant to. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. Euchariste, if you read Anne Voskamp's book several years ago, that word was on the lips of every believer. Euchariste. This thankfulness. It's not just thankfulness. It is the giving of thanks for God's grace. Praise his name. Gratitude. It's not thankful that your husband got that job. It's not thankful that your kid made an A on that test. It is thankful for the grace of God on your life. Listen, I am so thankful that I have legs that work. I have a mouth that can sometimes holler at my kids, but I'm thankful that I have breath that I can do that. God's grace, y'all. His grace, it is unmerited, it is in abundance. That is what's supposed to overflow. God, thank you for your grace. Now, maybe this Eucharistē, this is not going to flow out of you when you're trying to get to Moms with Swords on a Thursday morning and somebody has just had a blowout. You got somebody else playing in the potty and one that is trying to tie his shoes, and he just wants to do it himself. I do it myself. I do it myself. So maybe thankfulness, it's not going to spill out of you in that moment. Maybe. Maybe when you have hollered at the kids while you're cleaning everybody up, you're buckling them in. You're so thankful that they can't get out. I took my kids to Whitewater when they were little, and I have never been so thankful as I was when I got them. They were seat belted in. They couldn't move. I breathed a sigh. A Eucharist overflowed in that moment. I was like, y'all better sit. We're going to drive a long way home because y'all cannot move. It was thankfulness. It just overflowed. So maybe when after you're done hollering, you're buckling them up, they can't get out, you get down the road, and because you've been sitting in this Colossians verse, because you've been rooting, because you've been building, Eucharist settles on you. It just settles on you. And you just thank God that you get to be a mama, that your hands work, and maybe, and I believe it's going to be true, you get to apologize for losing it, for being human. And you know what happens? Beauty comes from ashes, and the enemy is defeated. My sweet friend Sarah, she shared last week, powerful story. If you were not here, I know you're going to watch it on podcast, but the atmosphere, y'all. I really did think I was going to turn into Lava Girl. I really thought my hair was going to turn. Boom! I swear, y'all, come back next session, I'm going to have red hair. It doesn't look really good on me, but it was one of those tangible, just atmospheres. Just God was just, whoo! And sweet Sarah shared. But what y'all know is a couple weeks before that, she came back to me. She said, Joy, in tears, I just lost it on my kids. I just lost it. And I was like, you're human. Praise God. You're a mom. I said, but you know what you get to do? When they get home from school, you get to gather them around your feet. And you get to say, would you pray for mommy? Mommy lost it. Do you forgive me? And guess what? You won. Jesus won. Eucharist, it flowed. Maybe not in the moment. Victory is won. Thankfulness wins. You know, I think this kind of thankfulness, it isn't anywhere close to happiness. We always want to be happy. You know, that's the theme of our world today. It just gets under my skin. Don't worry. Be happy. No. My kids, y'all, if my kids are unhappy, I'm like, yes, I'm doing my job. I've got a teenager who doesn't really want to talk to me a lot anymore, y'all. She doesn't really want to talk to me a lot. I have to catch her when she's ready because she doesn't really like us a lot. Because you know what? We say no a lot because you know we're coaching her. We're shepherding her. My shepherd staff, we talk about that, my staff is inspecting a lot. I'm hanging her up, inspecting a lot. And so a lot of times she's unhappy. But you know what I want to make sure? I want to make sure she doesn't see an unhappy mama. See, you don't have to be happy all the time. And if you are a mother of a toddler, you probably won't be happy all the time. But man, can your children, can you overflow with thankfulness? Can they see a thankful mom? My kids do not always get a happy mom, but man, I pray they see a thankful mom. Y'all, that's one of the most beautiful memories I have of my sweet little mama that will have been with Jesus for 9 years in December. One of my most, it's just burned in my mama was not happy all the time. Listen, my dad was, he was not a faithful husband, but man, y'all, my mama was thankful to be a mama. She was a thankful mom. It was the joy of her life. She'd make me French toast. I remember coming down the stairs and I'd smell French toast. She'd make it in our little toaster oven. And she was the last thing I saw when I got off the bus, and she was the first person I saw. She was a thankful mom. She was thankful for the grace to be a mom. She wasn't always happy. See, my response is when the unplanned happen. And y'all know, if you know me, I am very routine. Don't you interrupt my plan. Don't you interrupt my plan. Jesus likes to interrupt my plan a lot. When he calls me to a fast, y'all know what he tells me to do? He tells me to give up my tea. Every day, my tea. It's not just because I love Chick-fil-A sweet tea, but it's what I do every day. It's not that I love to exercise. I just do it every day. When I can go to boot camp, I go to boot camp. And so the Lord likes to interrupt my plan. So my response is not always happy. When those interruptions, my responses, they look a lot like your responses. I tell my kids are like, why are you hollering at me? I'm like, I'm not hollering. I'm just being stern. That's what you can tell your kids. I'm just using my stern voice. It looks a lot like yours. But let me tell you, what happens after your response is way more important than the response itself. What you do after, you lose it. Because guess what? We're gonna lose it. We're gonna lose it. But do you go back and redeem that moment? That's where the victory happens. That's where thankfulness, that's where that Eucharistē, that's where that overflow can happen. After the response, thankfulness can settle. You can calm down. Mommy needs a timeout. Several of you, I know y'all do that. Mommy just needs a timeout right now. You go back, you get your root system in check, and then you go back. Overflow. You see, your root system, your overflow speaks to your root system. Your overflow speaks to your root system. I did a little research on water flow. This concept of overflowing, this water flow of pressure and flow. And did you know that high pressure will cause greater flow? It's 5 o'clock. You got two babies on a leg. It's the witching hour. We've been there. You're about to lose it. Lots of pressure. Daddy just calls, texts. I've got to go to a work dinner. I'm going to be at Seasons 52 while you eat your SpaghettiOs. Yeah. High pressure, right? Oh, Eucharistē is, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? High pressure. High pressure causes greater flow. What's the root system looking like in that moment? What flows out of you when that pressure of all thing mothering hits? You see, it's not a matter of, when I did this research, they said, it's not a matter of, we need more water, so crank up the pressure. We got enough pressure. Listen, it's a matter of, we need more water, so increase the pipe size. Mamas, you need more water. Your root system, you need more water, so you better find the time with Jesus. You need to increase your ability to receive more water. Listen, Moms with Swords is gone. We're gone till February. And listen, we are not your source. We are not the source. Man, if we're ever the source, Jesus, leave, let us be gone. Moms with Swords is simply pointing you to the source. And I'm thankful that we are here every Thursday. Y'all help me as much as I help you. It is a wonderful community, and I love it. But listen, over these next few months, you're going to have a lot of kids home. Holidays are coming, and some of you have, you know, there's tension between you and your in-laws or you and your parents. Some of you, like me, this is going to be the first holiday without a loved one. There's going to be a lot of pressure, y'all, a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. And listen, it's not a matter of, I gotta just take more things on. It's I gotta drink more. I got to drink more. I got to increase my ability to receive more water so that when the pressure hits, when the kids are home for 2 weeks, Eucharist, I can overflow because I'm checking, I'm drinking the water. We need more water. So we've got to increase our ability to receive more water. There's a story in John 4 about a Samaritan woman, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Many of you know this story. Jesus was weary. The Bible said, I love it when it talks that when it speaks to his humanness. He scolds the disciples in John chapter 6. I love that. See, Jesus scolded. So we can scold. That's Little House on the Prairie term. You were scolded. No, I just spanked your butt. Scolded. I love it when it talks about Jesus' humanness. He was sitting, it said he was weary. So he was resting by Jacob's well, and a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. And I want us to start reading in verse 9. Mamas, you need more water, so you need to increase your ability to receive water. John chapter 4, verse 9. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Here we see him. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She has no idea who she's talking to. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman, finally, she doesn't yet know who he is, but she said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." She still has no idea who he is. And he said to her, "Go call your husband." This is when I just would love to have been there in this moment. "Go call your husband and come here." He's probably thinking, "Do you not know who you're talking to?" And she says, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And then Jesus, being fully God, said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." You think? "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." He's projecting himself. "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes," sister, he's standing right in front of you. "When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And listen, finally he says, Jesus said to her, "I who you speak to am he." I wish it would have said what she did at that moment. At this point, his disciples came and they interrupted. That's not in there. And they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? You see, Mom, as you draw and you drink from this water, you're going to leave just like she did. You're going to leave behind the water pots. You're going to leave them behind. They don't satisfy. Man, they don't satisfy. So you're going to leave them behind. You're going to start drinking this water and your leaves and your leaves are going to be green. Your fruit is going to ripen. This water that you're going to need to increase your ability to receive. This water is going to cause you to say, I don't want that because I've had that. You see, we believe that for our kids. I believe that my kids are drinking the water that he gives them. So when they're in situations where people want to give them certain things or they want to have them go do certain things, my kids are going to say, oh, no, I've tasted of this, so I don't want that. But what about you, Mom? What about you? Are you still dependent on your old sources to satisfy you? Listen, are you dependent on your husband to satisfy you? That's not the water you need to be drinking of. You need to love your husband, yes, and he needs to love you as Christ loves the church, but he is not your source. Your marriage is not your source. Your children are not your source. That is not your source. Bible study, it's a great thing. It's not your source. Moms with Swords, a great thing, a kingdom thing. It is not your source. This living water, you taste of me, you're going to leave it behind and you're going to come and drink of me because you see, I am the only thing that satisfies this water. I want to give you some pictures of this water. This water. Such a huge theme in the Bible, water. Man, are you thirsty yet? I really want to drink of my tea. But it's not that I'm craving. I just want to drink it, man. I'm just expecting of this water that he's fixing to lavish upon us in this place. This water. Look at Genesis chapter 2. See, it always goes back to Genesis. Everything, if you're in Bethel, which I'm so excited you're in Bethel, it always goes back to Genesis. Lori Newton tells me all the time, it always goes back to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 2. This is the first paradise, verses 10. And do we have those verses? No? No? Yes? No? Okay, let me read them. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 10. This is the first paradise. This is the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. God called the dry land earth, and the accumulated waters he called sea. And God saw that this was good, fitting, admirable, and he approved it. And God said, let the earth put forth tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit whose seed in itself, each according to its kind upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants, seeing. Oh, y'all, I'm reading the wrong one. Shoot. Sorry, I was reading chapter 1. Here's chapter 2, verse 10. I was like, wait a second. Okay, that's before this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. I've even got it started in my Bible. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there, listen, it divided and became four river heads. The first is named Pishon. It is the one flowing around the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. The gold of that land is of high quality, bdellium, pearl, and onyx stones. The second river is named Gihon. It is the one flowing through the whole land of Cush. The third river is named Hiddekel, the Tigris. It is the one flowing east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. It's the first mention of water in the Bible. Now we go to Ezekiel 47. Do we have that one in? We've got Ezekiel. Here we go to Ezekiel. That's right, I added that yesterday when I was preaching it. Sorry. Ezekiel 47 in the Amplified. Listen to this. This is the vision, the prophet Ezekiel. Then he, my guide, brought me back to the door of the house, the temple of the Lord. This is a picture of revelation to come. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house, the temple, towards the east. For the front of the temple was facing east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me around the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was spurting out from the south side of the gate. When the man went out towards the east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water that was ankle deep. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water that was knee deep. You see, it gets deeper. The more you drink, it gets deeper. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and led me through the water, water reaching the hips. I love this. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be crossed by wading. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" The main point of this vision is the rapid augmentation from a petty stream into a mighty river by its own self-supply. You start drinking in this river, you start drinking in this water, it becomes a perpetual stream. And finally, listen, in Revelations 22:1, this is the same water, this is the water, listen, the water. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life. Y'all, this is what we're going to be seeing one day. With the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's just flowing off the throne. The same water. One of the commentaries that I read, this McLaurin's exposition commentary, says this. Here on this last page of scripture, the river, the music of whose ripple had been heard by Ezekiel and Zechariah, bringing life to everything that it laved, and by the psalmist making glad the city of God, flows with a broader, fuller stream and is fouled by no stains, but is clear as crystal. River and tree have the same epithet and bring the same gift to the citizens. All the blessings which Jesus gives are summed up both in John's gospel and the apocalypse of life. The only true life is to live as God's redeemed servants, and that life is ours here and now if we are his. It is but a stream of the river that gladdens us here. The fruit has not yet its full flavor nor abundance. It is life, more life, for which we pant, and the desire will be satisfied when the river runs always full. And every month the fruit hangs ripe and ready to be dropped into happy hands from among the healing leaves. Y'all, this river heals what it touches. Y'all, if you're hurting this morning, if you're struggling this morning, drink in the water, increase your pipe size. Are you thirsty? This is the same water that should be flowing out of you. If we are building our lives on Jesus, listen, I hate to tell you, but if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then this water will not be present in your life. You have got to know. You've got to take him as your own. It is a personal taking. But once you take him for your own, you have the ability to overflow as you drink him in. Are we thirsty? This living water, y'all, it should spill out on our marriages. It should spill out on our husbands. It should spill out on our children. Man, this living water, our root system depends on the water we're taking in. Are you drinking in? Are you drinking, mama? This water, once you drink it in, you'll want more. You'll want more. The things that don't satisfy will come to light. Listen, I tell y'all all the time, the more I drink of him, the more things he calls me to give up because I really didn't know why I even needed them. Relationships that I thought were a real big part of my life, as I'm drinking him in, I have to leave behind. Are we thirsty? I want to close with showing you a picture. My family visited Colorado this past July for softball. Softball gets to take us to some great places. And we were in Colorado, and we went on this railway called Pike's Peak. The elevation is 14,110 feet. I mean, it's warm at the bottom and it is cold at the top. And we rode this train all the way up Pikes Peak. It's beautiful, 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 beautiful. Colorado is a beautiful state. We're going back this year. I can't wait. My whole family gets to go. Last year, we left behind the two little ones, and they throw it in our face all the time. So this year, we're going to bring the whole family because it's just a beautiful state. So going up this railway, it was beautiful. And we got to this point, and I, you know, was sitting with some friends. I was like, wow, what is that? And the lady on the speaker comes in, and she says, now we have hit, we are above the tree line. We're above the tree line, so there will be no trees. You won't see any more trees because trees cannot grow. Trees can't grow here because they cannot get to the water. Their root system cannot take root because they cannot get to the water. So they're barren. It's desolate. It's rocky. You see, this is where so many mamas are living. They're living above the tree line because, for one, they've never been, John 15, they've never been connected to the vine. That's the first thing. And secondly, they might have been connected as a little kid, but they have never drank from the living water, so their root system has no water. So they're living above the tree line. They're dry. They have nothing to overflow because they are receiving nothing. Are you, mama, living above the tree line today? Do not leave here today without drinking in the living water that will nourish your root system. I believe in the authority of Jesus today. There's going to be some mamas that are going to go back and receive some living water, and God is going to overflow it in you and out of you. He's ready. He's ready. Job 29, 19. The Lord showed me this verse yesterday. I don't think we have it, and it's fine. But write it down and go look at it. Job 29, 19. My roots have spread out, and I have found water. And the dew settles at night on my branches. Moms, have you found the water? Have you found the water? Because listen, the pressure is always present. The pressure is going to be more present now that you've joined Moms with Swords than ever before. How many of it has happened to you? The pressure. Do you think the devil is going to sit back and say, oh, she's going to that Moms with Swords. Now she is intentionally pouring the word over her kid. I'm just going to sit back and let her do that. No. Chaos will try to emerge in your house, but if you're drinking, if you're soaking in His Word, it won't matter because the pressure will always be present, but the living water is going to overflow and God is going to give it in abundance, so it will not matter. Pressure is always present, but His water always available. Today, Mom, today. I want to put that picture back on the screen. Are you living above the tree line? Can your root system find water? Some of you holding those babies, I know you're dry. Some of you are thinking, Joy, I'm just so tired. I'm just so weary. This is so hard. And I know, but drink water. Drink Him in today and every day. You don't need me. You don't need Moms with Swords. You just need Jesus. Whoever drinks of this water will never, not ever, be thirsty again. It will become an artisan spring gushing. I love the Amplified. The Message says, gushing forth. Gushing forth, y'all. That is what the end of this Colossians verse says we are to do, to overflow with thankfulness, overflow with the wonderfulness of God's grace in our life. Are you drinking the living water? I want to give you some time. I'm going to call the prayer team back there because I really want to give y'all time to go to your huddles. But I want us to stand. I want everybody to stand. I want to give you some time today. And if you are living above the tree line, If you've never been connected to the vine, man, go back today and ask somebody, tell somebody, I want to be connected to this source. I want to drink in this source. And then if some of you are just tired, some of you are weary, some of you are worried about the days ahead, some of you are stressed because the holidays are coming and what that happens and the dynamics in your family, let somebody pray for you. Let's receive some water today. Let's receive some of that living water today. Because I can promise you, as you taste of that living water, you'll be ready to leave stuff behind that does not satisfy. That water satisfies. So I'm simply going to pray, and we're going to have some music play, and I just want you to stand. If you don't need prayer, then you just stand there and pray for the people that do need prayer. Man, Jesus is the source, y'all. Jesus is the source. And if you are dry, go drink him in today. Go drink him in. So I'm going to pray, and then you can go. And after a little while, we'll go to our huddles, and I will see you back in February. But I just want to pray and trust God that he's going to pour out that water. Jesus, we just believe you to pour out your water, Father, right now on some mamas that are living above the tree line, God. But today, Jesus, before this last session ends, God, you are saying, would you just come and drink of me? Would you just come and let me fill you and satisfy every part of you? Jesus, we want to drink you in today, God. We want to drink in that water that is so freely available to us, God. We are not like the Samaritan woman, God. We know who you are. We know what you can do. And so we ask you to do it, God. We ask you to pour it out, God, lavishly, abundantly. God, may it be an overflow today. May it truly be an artisan spring that you pour forth on these mamas that are dry and weary and tired. They don't feel equipped. They don't feel equipped. I believe there's some of you out there that are so worried because you don't feel equipped that you can do what we've been talking about over these last few weeks. You don't feel equipped over these next few months that you won't have Moms with Swords. You're so worried that you're not going to do it. God is telling you today, I am your source. You have me. All you need is me. I am the source. Jesus is the source. You just need the sword of the Spirit of God that is his word and his name on your tongue. That's all you need. Jesus, would you pour it out now over these next few minutes, God? Would you pour it out? May many be filled, God. And after today, God, may you call them away so that you can, the daily thirst that we have, God, could you daily fill them, Father? Today and every day going forward, God, with that living water that truly satisfies. In Jesus' name, amen.